Chapter 41. The field I'd seen the guardians training in was littered with cots, occupied by the injured and the dead. Most were mortal. 20 dissenters, or those of Atlantean descent that had settled in Spessa's End, had perished. At least 50 of Atlantean descent who'd arrived with the army had died. And double that occupied the cots. A dozen or so Wolven were injured beyond their capabilities to heal themselves. The elemental Atlanteans that had made up the vast majority of the army had healed themselves. None of the Guardians had fallen, and only a few were among the injured. The Atlantean army had been successful, though, even with the casualties. They'd seized control by the time Castile and I stepped out of the carriage, to find Kieran and several Atlantean warriors standing guard. I couldn't even muster an ounce of embarrassment at the knowledge that some realized what had happened inside the carriage. Only one soldier in the entirety of the Soulless Army had been left alive. Castile and a few others had left hours ago, escorting a young boy barely beyond the cusp of manhood, to the scorched land of Pompeii, charged with the task of relaying a warning and a message. Atlantia had reclaimed Spessa's End, and any who came for the town would meet the same fate as those before them. The message was also an opportunity. Castile had initiated a part of his original plan. The Battle of Spessa's End didn't have to be the first of many to come. The prince and princess of Atlantia were willing to meet with the king and queen of Solus to discuss the kingdom's futures. I didn't envy the boy who was tasked with delivering the message, and I didn't envy any of the family and friends of those who had lost loved ones. Each time I saw someone I knew standing, I'd been overcome with relief.
Thank you.
A raspy voice drew my attention. An older Wolven had taken a nasty blow to the arm, nearly severing it. He was the last one to be checked. I'd healed him, like I'd healed all of those who'd allowed me to try. Some had refused my touch, like those in New Haven had. My chest squeezed painfully as Elijah's image took form in my mind. I cleared my throat. "You're welcome." Back and arms aching, I started to rise. "I don't know if your arm is completely healed, so you should have a healer look at it as soon as possible." The Wolven caught my left arm before I could move. His eyes widened slightly at the contact, and I wondered if he'd felt the strange electric-like current that others had when he touched me. He slowly turned my hand over.
"It's true, then?"
he asked, looking at the golden swirl across my palm.
"You've married our prince."
I nodded as my heart skipped. This middle-aged Wolven, with his head of ropey black and silver dreads, had been the first to ask.
"Others are saying you fought beside him the entire battle."
I started on the rise, but I did go down.
"And yet, you're here. You have been here this whole time, healing others,"
he said, his pale eyes sharp.
"With your touch."
How could I not when I can help? And I had helped. Talia the healer I'd caught a brief glimpse of had her hands full with those who refused my aid. So, after the battle, I had taken the time to wash the blood from my face and hands, even though it was still caked to my clothing and dried under my fingernails. He nodded as he let go of my wrist and laid his hand back on the cot.
"Kieran said you were of the empath bloodline."
I nodded again.
"I've never seen an empath glow silver before," he said, "and I remember them. I was a young boy then, and there was only a handful still alive, but I'd remember something like that."
Wondering how old this Wolven was, I said, "Jasper said the same."
"Not surprised to hear that. He knows things," the Wolven said, "except when to keep his mouth closed."
I smiled wearily.
That's what I hear. You must be descended from an old empath line. What else could I be? I asked, not really expecting an answer. Yes, he murmured. What else? I looked over my shoulder, spotting Quentin and Beckett moving among the injured and recovering. Water and food are being brought. Is there anything else you need? No, the wolven eyed me as I stood. But you should be careful, princess. I stilled. I've watched the others watching you. Our prince may have chosen you. You may have fought beside him and for them. You may have healed many of us, he said, with a voice full of gravel. But they didn't choose you, and many aren't old enough to even remember the empath bloodlines. Those who are, remember what they can do, what they were called. Soul eaters? I can't do that, I said, even as my heart started pumping. I can't drain a person of emotion. But they don't know that. His gaze shifted to the cots. Is there someone here to watch over you? He started to sit up. You shouldn't be out here alone, with the prince. I'm fine. Gently, I pressed him onto his back. I'm armed and can take care of myself. I don't doubt that, but... His features tightened, almost as if he were in pain, but I knew he wasn't. I shouldn't say this. It's damn near treasonous. But you healed me. I owe you. You don't owe me. It would have taken days, maybe even longer, for me to heal that wound. And that is if I kept my arm. I'm a wolven, princess. That does not mean I can grow back limbs. I glanced at the pale pink mark that nearly encircled the entirety of his biceps. The gods had to have favored him to keep that limb attached after that kind of injury. It's pretty well known among the armies that once the king knew of the prince's plans to capture you, he began to make his own plans. I doubt he knows how much the prince's plans have changed, but his have not. A heaviness sat on my shoulders. He plans to use me to send a message. I doubt I would be a message that was alive and breathing, I said. I know. Then you should also know that Castile is our prince, the wolven said in a low voice. But Valin, his father, is our king. I know, I repeated, fixing a smile on my face. Do you? The heaviness intensified as I nodded again. You should rest, at least until Talia can confirm you're healed. The older wolven relented unhappily, but with one last goodbye, I roamed the edges of the makeshift infirmary, scanning the field and the banners embossed with the Atlantean crest. I could feel eyes on me. I'd felt them the entire time I moved through the field. But with all the pain that had been echoing around me, I hadn't allowed myself to sense anything beyond the agony. But they didn't choose you. I flinched as the wolven's words played over and over in my head as I turned away from the field. What the wolven had said about the king, and the veiled warning hinting at where the Atlantean people's loyalty lay, didn't come as much of a shock. In the back of my mind, I'd already figured as much. Hadn't I? And that was before they heard Duchess Tierman's ridiculous claims that I was Queen Ileana's granddaughter. The queen was an ascended. I was not of her blood, nor born of flesh and fire, whatever that meant. But I wasn't like other empaths, and even so, that bloodline sounded more feared than respected. I knew I wouldn't have many supporters in Atlantia. I barely had them here. Castile was the Prince of Atlantia, well-loved and respected. That much was obvious, but not a single person spoke ill of his father or mother, and I knew they were just as loved as he was. Castile was the prince, but his father was the king, and if he wanted me dead to send a message, his people would follow his lead. I didn't know if a ring or marriage imprint would change that, when me fighting and killing to protect the people of Atlantia hadn't. And Castile? He had to know that. He always had to know that. Sitting in the tub of warm, soapy water, I had my arms locked around my legs, my knees pressed to my chest, and my eyes closed. I recalled the warm sun under my feet, and the weight of my mother's and father's hands in mine. I remembered how easy Ian's smile was as he ran ahead, and the sound of my mother's laugh, and the way my father stared at her like it was the most beautiful sound he'd ever heard. The corners of my lips curved up, thinking of those moments had eased the coldness that returned when I walked back to the fortress. What the Duchess had said, and thoughts of Tawny, haunted me, just like I knew they would. Along with worries about the king's plans and the loyalty of the Atlantean people, I opened my eyes to the soft click of the bathing chamber door, the scent of rich, earthy spice and crisp pine enveloped the soap's lemony scent as Castile knelt beside me. The strands of his hair were damp, and the clothing he wore was clean and free of blood. When and where he'd cleaned up, I had no idea. I hadn't seen him since he left with the young soulless soldier. "Hey," he said quietly, his gaze roaming over my face, lingering on a bruise I'd gained in the battle. "Hi," I whispered. One side of his lips curled up, and I felt my cheeks warm. I cleared my throat. "Is everything okay with the soldier?" He nodded. "He's on his way to Whitebridge." Reaching over, he gathered up several strands of my wet hair and draped it over my shoulder. He bared the bite mark on my throat, and I swore his grin deepened. "I hear I owe you a thank you." I held my legs tighter. "For what?" "You spent the entire day healing those you could and easing the pain of those you couldn't." Those twin amber jewels met mine. "Thank you." I swallowed. I only did what I could, what anyone with my abilities would do. At least, that's what I hoped. Some of them wouldn't let me. His fingers trailed over the damp skin of my back. "Some of them are idiots."
"They are your people."
"Our people," he corrected softly. My breath caught, and a bit of panic and unease sparked at the realization that they were my people, whether they liked it or not.
I'm sorry about Elijah and all of them. I liked him, and Magda was nice, but they were your friends."
His lashes lowered as he exhaled raggedly. "I've known Elijah since he was a boy, and I know how crazy that sounds since I look younger than him. He knew the risks, and I know he fought back. I know all of them did, but he didn't deserve that. None of them did."
"No, they didn't," I agreed softly.
"I should have made them all leave, risked drawing the attention. I should have—"
"You did what you could. Some of those people couldn't travel because of their injuries, and none of them were ready to leave immediately," I argued. "What happened there isn't your fault."
Castile said nothing. "You know that, right? That was the Ascended. They are responsible, not you."
He nodded slowly.
"I know that."
"Do you?"
Swallowing, he nodded, and I wasn't sure if that was the case. "I was told something odd earlier when I returned to Spessa's End.
I'm half afraid to ask." There was a brief grin.
"You remember the wolven who showed up during the battle?"
"How could I forget that?"
"Glad you haven't, because that was when you had a knife to your throat."
"I was trying to save you and the people," I reminded him.
"We've already covered that." "We did. But Kieran told me that he heard you calling him. He said the other wolven felt it too, that they all veered in our direction. Jasper confirmed it, he said. He said the same thing. I didn't. I mean, how? I swallowed. I was obviously feeling a lot in that moment. I felt like, I don't know, like I was about to lose control. But how is that even possible? I don't know, Poppy. I've never seen anything like that. I don't know how they could have picked up on anything from you. He tugged on a strand of my wet hair and draped it over my bare shoulder. Neither do they. I asked them when they came by just now. Both said they felt you calling for them, calling for help. Goosebumps broke out over my skin. Delano! Oh my gods. What? When we were in New Haven and I was kept in the room, he burst inside at one point, swearing he heard me calling for him. But I hadn't. Castile's brows slashed over his eyes. Did something happen at that time? Because if so, and I wasn't told about it, nothing happened. I was mad. Mad at you because I was locked in the room, I explained. He then said it must have been the wind, and it was windy then, so I forgot about it. Castile lifted another strand of hair. That's bizarre. I stared at him. That's all you have to say to them feeling my call? That's bizarre? Well, the definition of bizarre is something strange and unusual. I know what bizarre means, I interrupted. Is that another empath trait manifesting? His gaze met mine. I've never heard of an empath being able to do that. My stomach dipped, just like glowing silver and being able to heal. You could be of two bloodlines, he cut in. We talked about that before. It could be possible. More possible than Queen Ileana being my grandmother. I had no idea what to think of the whole hearing my call thing, but what if that was an empath ability? People could project their pain and fear. What if that was what I was doing, and the wolven for some reason picked up on it? That seemed like it made logical sense. What do we do now? I asked. Right now, at this very moment. His smile was smoke as his gaze traveled over the bare skin he could see, which wasn't any of the interesting parts. I have so many ideas. That's not what I was talking about, I said, even though I was glad to see the somberness leave his eyes. I know, but I'm distracted. It's not my fault. You're naked. You can't see anything. What I can see is enough. He lowered himself to his knees as he rested his arms on the edge of the tub. So I'm thoroughly distracted.
You being distracted sounds like your problem and not mine, I told him. He chuckled as he bent his head, kissing the patch of my knee that wasn't covered by my arms.
We'll leave for Atlantia tomorrow. The Atlantean armies that arrived will remain behind just in case the Ascended want to make a very bad life choice. Spessa's End will be protected.
There was a whooshing sensation in my chest. So soon?
We would have already been there if things had gone as planned.
He leaned back.
We are married, but you haven't been crowned yet. That needs to happen.
I worried my lower lip. I get that the crowning makes things official, but what will that really change? I briefly closed my eyes. Our people still don't trust me or like me. Whatever. And your father still has his plans, right? For me?
His brows lowered. My father's plans have changed.
What if they haven't? He studied me for a moment.
Did someone say something to you?
Not wanting to potentially get the older wolven in trouble, I gave a slight shake of my head. It's just, I know many don't accept me, even after the marriage and last night. You're the prince and all, but he's the king.
And you're starting to sound like Alistair, he interrupted. I'd almost think he got you all worked up again. But he stayed in Atlantia.
It's not Alistair, I said. But he did say that. And he has a point. I know you wanted to marry me partly because it offered me a level of protection.
Originally, Poppy. And that was only because I'd convinced myself that was the reason, he stated. It wasn't the only reason. Neither was freeing my brother or preventing a war. I wanted you, and I wanted to find a way to try to keep you.
There was a different kind of snag in my chest now, in response to his words.
You have me. I whispered the words I'd said to him in the carriage. I know. His gaze held mine. And no one, not even my father or my mother, will change that.
I believed him. I really did.
No one will harm you, he vowed. I will not allow it.
Neither will I. He smiled then, both dimples appearing.
I know. Come.
Rising, he reached for the towel.
If you stay in there any longer, you will start to grow fins.
Like a sea wren? A grin appeared.
Like a sea wren.
I didn't move, though. I lied to you. Castile arched a brow.
About?
You asked me if the Duchess had said anything to me before I killed her, and I said no. That was a lie. A heartbeat passed.
What did she say?
I asked her about my brother and yours. She said they were together, but that's all she would say about them. I watched him return to kneeling beside me. She told me that Tawny was going to ascend without waiting, that it could have already happened. She said that the Queen knew how much I cared for Tawny and wanted her to be there. So when I returned home, I would feel comfortable.
Gods.
Castile leaned over, cupping the back of my head.
You don't know if any of that is true. Any of it, Poppy. Your brother, mine, Tawny,
she said that the Queen will be thrilled when she learns we've married. That if she'd known that had happened, none of what took place last night would have been necessary. I told him, and he stilled. She told me that I accomplished the one thing the Queen never could, that I took Atlantia.
That doesn't make any sense, Poppy.
I know, I said. Neither does what she said about the Queen being my grandmother. It makes no sense at all. It's so far out there, so unbelievable, that I can't help but wonder if some of it is true.